All right. So we have Stephanie here. My name is Brandon.
I'm Carmen.
Yeah. And we're going to interview Stephanie about her background. She's from Nigeria, so here we go. All right, so you're from Nigeria, right?
Yeah.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, like your home life?
Okay. Back home in Nigeria, it's mixed cultural perspective, you know. It's all about the culture and the ways of life, certain ways of life. You gotta respect the family, you know, and the elders, you gotta greet them. And the education system is tough in the sense that we're not really provided with the facilities and the equipment to even go to school. You just gotta survive for yourself and you still have to make a good grade, you know. And this is things we do back home. Here, back in the school, I was in university in Nigeria. And it's something, it's more of a, you know, here in America, the classroom is to a certain number of people. But back there, it looks like the whole of Tulsa coming to college is instituted into a classroom, into a certain place. Therefore, we're not really listening sometimes in class. We're just making a lot of noise on our phone. The instructor, they don't really get our attention. We're just there for the fashion and things like that. But back here, it's something else. And I will tell you, it's too competitive because no matter what, we're in a certain classroom which fielded so many students and thousands and millions of students, you still gotta pass. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pass, you're definitely gonna repeat the class. So you just still gotta strive to survive. That's how we do back home. You know, and so back home I learned to be respectful because if you mess up big time, my mom says get ready to spank you with any object mm-hmm. she sees by your side and you don't call no cops, you know. So these things had to make us instill fear. Not just fear not to do what's wrong, but to know when you're doing something wrong and what to do at the right time. Because I wouldn't say I really loved what she did, but it also made me to be who I am. Like, it shaped me to the lady. Because if not, girl, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get loose. I am really going to be loose. And so I lived my life in the school hostel, in a boarding house. We call it a boarding house. And there you had to mix up with people from various cities and towns in Nigeria, because Nigeria is not just one city. We have like several tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And so mixing up with those people, we just had to learn their perspective, their anger management, their lifestyle. And that was where I learned to deal with people of various, whatever you show up, I can deal with you if I want to deal with you, you know. It's not dealing with you like fighting with you or what. It's just I know how to, if I can ignore you, I don't let things get into me unless it really, you're just stepping on my toe. But if you don't step on my toe and you're just acting because you want to act crazy, then you're free to act crazy. I'm going to let you be. But when it's time to, if you want, like in back home, we do so many nasty stuff and so many cool stuff. It's all about, it's fun. I don't see anything different yet. The only thing I see different is the way of the education system. Here you have to look for a professor and know how, if they graded them, rate my professor, you see. But we don't do that thing. Like, you just register for your classes and go and see whichever professor. Some of them might be on the phone and be teaching, but you still gotta pass the class because they don't give a damn. You still gotta know what to do and do it right, you know.
Right.
So it's just survival of the fittest. You just gotta be strong and do what you have to do. And so back there, it taught me to be strong and never take things so hard and know that whatever I want to be in future, I gotta start working for it. No matter how hard it's gonna be.
Right.
But I gotta be because of my family. And being the first child in my family, I had so many responsibilities. Like, my siblings look up to me,
mm-hmm.
my parents look up to me, kids. I'm the one that's gonna train them. I'm like the son and the daughter at the
mm-hmm.
same time. It's not like I don't have brothers, but they're the kid ones.
Right.
And so I'm just like everything, you know. So back home, I think it groomed me to be strong and live the country at that young age.
Yeah.
Come up down here with them filled with different versatiles and personalities and perspective and insights. So that's so far my life.
Right. It was really nice, actually.
Yeah.
All right, so is English your first or second language?
I would say it's my first.
Your first?
Yeah, we have native language, but that's English is how we communicate back home, so.
Okay. All right. So what really interests you in coming to TCC, like, specifically?
I wouldn't say I have a specific reason why I came to TCC. One, my aunt stays here.
Oh.
So she went to the school, and so far what I learned is that the community college is cheaper, and it's lesser than being from a different country that has a different perspective and way of teaching. I felt that community college is gonna be, it's gonna take their time to groom you through the university.
Mm-hmm.
It saves to college, like, you know, if you have to go to university for like 4 years, come here and do like a 2 year program.
Yeah.
Then you go to university and do the 2 year program. So being here is gonna groom me for being in university. So that's why I think I chose here, because it's cheaper, one, trust me, like, I can't just go and pay like international student fee at university. It's cheaper, and yeah, the classroom management, the number of people, and because of it's versatile. Like, this is a community college in Tulsa, where you meet different people from various backgrounds. So I think starting from this, like, a foundation, that's what
right.
I'm gonna say, like a building foundation for you to go to the outside world, not just going to the university, just so that once people ask you where are you, like, university, but you have to know and be really certain this is what you're doing, and you walk you through the steps. That's why I came here. So specifically it's first because of my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And so secondly, I got to know some of those things, you know.
All right. What are you studying at TCC?
Yeah, I studied nursing. That's my major.
What really interests you in the
nursing field?
Yeah, nursing
okay.
field.
I love to help people. So I really have this mindset of helping people no matter what. And secondly, because of the money involved in it.
Yes.
Because of the money. I'm not going to underestimate that. I need the money also. And right from my childhood, I always was like, I want to be a doctor. But
mm-hmm.
I messed up myself in high school. I didn't do good in my science classes
mm-hmm.
when I was jumbled. And so I was like, no, I can't do a medical profession
mm-hmm.
again. And so coming back here, I found out I could do it, because they were like, you just have to start from the basics and you can move through, and
mm-hmm.
the system of education, which is like step by step. So I bounced back here, like, I want to do nursing. And I was like, that was why I ventured into it. So first is passion for people. Like, I really have, I want to help them. I want to see that they are good, and I want to get the money.
All right.
Yeah.
Alright. So what's your favorite American food so far?
Okay, that is so amazing, because I don't think I have an American food.
Really?
I eat McDonald's like almost every day. And I eat Panda and rice. So I cooked homemade few foods and eat. But whenever I want to go out, even when I had a date, I was like, you can't take me to New York. Like, I'm not a fan of all this. So I cook my food. I cook my soup, I cook my rice. If I want to eat, trust me, my favorite store is McDonald's. Or the Panda store. But you don't have to blame me. Like, what am I going to take? Like, when I go to the store, what am I going to venture into? I take Panda. Like, I love the Panda Chinese food. But aside that, my junk favorite place is McDonald's. Like, if you want to see me anyway, just tell them, this girl, she's made of McDonald's.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what's the biggest difference between here in Nigeria?
To me, I think it's the road, the power supply. It's like a steady power supply. Because I remember sometimes when I'm coming back from school, I'm like, are they going to take the light? Is there going to be a blackout? You know, because back home, it's not a steady light supply. It's not steady, but here it's... So, that's a big difference for me, is the light, the road, it's not always a bad road though. We have some good roads, but it's not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And the system of education, government, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to like give this credit to my country.
Yeah.
They're cool, but you know, it's also different here because I won't say there's no bribery and corruption in America. There is,
mm-hmm.
but it's in a local way. It's not like so profound. It's not so obvious, unlike back home. That's
mm-hmm.
the thing, because I can tell you the full time bribery and corruption down this country. But it's not like it's so obvious. It's not something prominent that you can see, and you can state that this country is corrupt and filled with bribery and corruption. But back home it is. That's the system of government. Like, you know, once you be like Nigeria, this is the corrupt. But it's because of one person has used their hands like paint the nation red, and like everyone seems like it's just like when you say pointing one thing at everybody, maybe I'm part of your crew, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I did something bad, they're gonna be like, this crew is a bad crew,
mm-hmm.
while it's just me, you know. So that is how it is. So it's just that the hand down here is cut short, because it's not, it's just doing it from under the table and it just keeping silent,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's how it is. So that's the only difference I see. The personalities are still the same. I see before I came into this country, I like had Americans with a very high, I graded them with high, what will I say? I don't know the right adjective to use, but like I kept them in a very high standard.
Right.
But coming down here, because of what I see and because of what I hear, but coming down here, it was a very different thing. You know, I see people that are smart, I see people that are not smart. I see people that you think you can like roll with because of their levels and personalities,
mm-hmm.
but it's just something else. It's just a picture that they paint mm-hmm. to us, and in the picture which they paint to you guys back here is something like Africans, you were sleeping on the floor and things like that. So that is it. I don't really, the only big difference I see between my home country in America is the system of education, the government, and the light and the road. Aside that, it's still the same.
All right. So, have there been any other places in America you've been to?
Yeah, I've been to California, I've been to Texas, kind of. And I've been to Ohio, I've been to, other cities in California and some cities in Tulsa here, which is like Muskogee.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what but like the states, yeah, just Ohio, and I think I passed through when I was going to California. We went and stopped at Texas, and then what other city? New Mexico or something?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, back there. And I hope to travel more. Man.
Yeah.
Tulsa.
It is. Yes,
it
really
is.
Is.
So how do you get around as a
okay, that was a good question. Transportation is something that it's a hell of a mess in Tulsa. I'm sorry to say. But it's, to me,
no, it's
personally, it's a hell of a mess to me. It may not be a hell of a mess to everyone, but because I keep failing my driving test, let me just tell you the truth and then make myself ashamed. I failed my test like 5 times. Driving test, like, man, it doesn't mean like I don't drive in Nigeria,
right.
but because of like the system of driving here, and so it's different. And I don't want to, you know, you can't drive when you don't have a license, so I have to take the bus.
Right.
And taking the bus for me to have a class by 8:30, waking up by 6, I put on the alarm and the alarm buzzes, and I'm like, wait, 7 o'clock. And 7 o'clock comes, I'm like, wait, 7:30, and that's how I keep waiting. And when I have this, when I imagine that I have to take the bus down to school, it's something hell of a mess, and I think
mm-hmm.
you should walk down, because as an international student, you gotta be in your feedback before you can start thinking of getting a car or
right.
getting a means of transportation or getting Uber, because it's something, because once you have the money and you're using it on Uber every day to go and come back,
mm-hmm.
it's something hell of a mess. And before I started going out, because my schedule has always been, just because of my aunt, I always
mm-hmm.
drive out with her, but when she travels, because she's a traveler, and it was so difficult getting around, I must tell
right.
you. Sometimes I'm like crying, like, I'm tired of this place. But once you're tired of it, you should look at the future. Like, I have something to tell a story about. So definitely I'm going to tell my kids and my siblings about the story of how I walked. Something I didn't walk all the way, because back home in school, I lived in the school like all through my life from high school. So it's something different. And whenever I got home, but I enter my parents' car and take myself where I want to go. It limited my transportation, limits my activities. I can't go out with people. I can't really hang out. I don't have no friend right now. The only person I have is one girl like I met from my church, because I can't go out with you, and I don't want the essence, like, when you go somewhere and you can't take me, I have to wait for your own time to get home, you know. It just limits my activities and limits, because, you know, one thing of this transportation, it makes it to meet with people, and the more you get to know people, the more you get information about where you are in the same way, you get to learn the accent of them, because if you don't mix with them, you can't, like, communicate effectively with people. Right. It's not just about school here, because, you know, once you come to school, people have other schedules to go around. They have the work to go to and things like that. And once you don't have a car, also, it limits you to even get a job, because you don't know the way and the means of transportation to get there.
Right.
So transportation, it's a very bad puzzle I'm solving here. But I'm going to get it.
Yeah, I don't have my license yet either.
Oh, okay, but you know, yours is better. Do you know why? Because you're an American,
right.
And you can have a means to come. Your mom can bring you up, and your dad can get to you, your siblings, you know. But as an international student, this is something I need to work on, because wherever you stay, you know, you have to get a means to go to school. Because maybe, first of all, I didn't know, when I got in this country, I didn't know my school. My aunt just dropped me at the bus stop and like, you gotta get a bus from here, and tell them you're going to this place and this week. And this is something I don't really get, you know.
Right.
She just showed me when we are driving, and you don't get things. I don't grasp things once at that time, especially when I'm just still looking at the luxuriosity of being in America for the first time in my life when I was 18 years. So I'm just that teen that was so excited about leaving my country and coming to this country that is filled with milk and honey. So it's just something different. So standing down there and people passing, and I was wearing one kind of shabby clothes, I was looking so good. And standing there, back in my country, when you stand on the road like that, it looks like a slot, you know? And so standing in cars are passing, and some guys are like, oh gosh, you kill it. I felt so irritated. I felt like I was a slot standing there. So it was something difficult, because I didn't even know, have a clue of where I was going to.
Right.
I only knew I'm going to tell the certain people, this is where I want to go to. You know, and they're going to direct me. And this is people I don't know. And this is people I have a very strong accent to, like they say, to communicate with them. So this is a very big problem. Before, I found one guy that was like, I always see you in my class, so hop in, I'll pick you. And I'll tell you the truth, that first day I hopped in, I didn't care what I was thinking. I didn't care if they're going to kidnap me or like, I'm going to hop in, I'm tired of standing there, because I didn't get a bus. I said, this is going to be the time the bus is going to show up. And I was standing there for literally more than an hour, if I was correct. I'm not assuming. Like, this is not the perfect time I'm telling you, but I'm just kind of assuming.
Right.
And so I was so frustrated. I didn't know who to call. Nothing. That was just coming to the country, you know.
Right.
So my aunt was unavailable, because she doesn't have to stay at home just to babysit me. She has to do other things she has to do. And I'm just 18. Because back home, when you're 18, you can do what you want to do, you know. They can leave you at home. It's not like some restrictions here, you know. So the transportation system, it's something else in Tulsa.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, maybe other cities, maybe California. I think in California it was kind of a bit good. But I think transportation should be made available, maybe the school buses. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, I don't know what the plans are for us. It's international today, or for people that goes to school that don't have a ride. But it needs to be worked out, because being here as a first timer, not knowing where I'm going to, it restricted me, because my first campus was in Northeast campus. And from Lewis, from South Lewis to Northeast is like you have to take literally two buses, because you have to come from Lewis to downtown. From downtown you have to get on that bus. And all this at time, and if you have a class by 10 o'clock, you are literally going to miss it. Or you're going to come very late. Everyone is going to stare at you. And being an African girl and staring at you like, oh, wow, she's just coming. I'm not doing any racism or anything. I'm just saying, you know. So it's something that needs to work on, because if I was kidnapped that day, I don't care. Like, I didn't really care. It was after everything, I was talking to my friend, I was like, do you know why I entered someone's car? I didn't even know the person, and the guy stopped, and it was two guys, and the guy stopped, and I just jumped into the car. I didn't care what's going to happen to me, but I just wanted to enter because I was tired of standing like a slut. Right. To me, I was feeling like I was a slut standing on the road by that time. And people were just staring, and guys were like, you know, those sounds, this is things that irritate me back home. I don't know how it is down here, you know. So that's it for the transportation.
Right.
It's a mess for me. So I like maybe it can be walked in.
So what do you think? What was like your reaction, your first reaction when you realized you were gonna go to TCC? Or like
I was excited.
You're really
I was
excited.
Excited, like so excited because that's opportunities people are looking for to get out of the country and study
mm-hmm.
abroad. And so getting it, I was like, yeah. I was so excited at the summer of everything. I was
mm-hmm.
super, super, super excited. It's in the whites, going to class with them, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's just exciting to Australia. And I was also challenged. I was challenged to make good of those grades. Like, whenever I mess up in my grade, I feel so mad
right.
about everything. But, you know, the only thing I had to do is to work harder and try. That's what I only did. But I was excited. And I was grateful to God because the opportunity was something. It doesn't really come. But I just got it once. And so I was excited and grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had... So you talked a little bit about when the TCC is kind of like a stepping stone to another university.
Yeah.
Are you going to university here after you finish?
Yes, I will. I want to go to either OU to do my BSN.
Mm-hmm.
MKid. OU. I just love OU. Other universities. I think I just want to go there after my studies. And I want to study and get my master's.
Master's in nursing?
Yes. I want to be a nurse practitioner.
Right.
So that's my goal, and I want to be by 23.
That's a really good career to go into. Do you miss back home? Like, do you miss being
home? I don't
home?
Think I really miss
no.
it. I have a goal, and so I speak with my family, like, every day.
Yeah.
I speak with my siblings. They're doing good in their own school, so I don't have anything to miss. The only thing I'm going to miss is when I be here for all this year that I don't achieve anything.
Right.
Then I'm going to miss because right now I have a goal. And so it's not like I have kids that I'm taking care of. Everyone is taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So talking to them, I miss the noise, but it's not something like I really miss.
Right.
I can't really say like I miss home like that because I speak with them every day. I do video call, I chat.
Yeah.
And when I talk with them, it looks like I'm back with them.
Well, that's good.
So I just think I have a goal. Missing them is gonna be like a distraction. It's not I don't know if I'm really passing out what I mean by missing, not missing.
Mm-hmm.
Like missing them is just like, oh, I wanna go home now.
Right.
But I miss their insight. I miss them scolding at me certain times when
mm-hmm.
I do certain things. And I miss leaving them so they will scold at me certain times or certain
right.
things I do, you know. You know, wearing some clothes.
Yeah.
My dad's gonna get me back, you know. But I think I have a goal, and it's not all about, I think everyone is an individual on their own because when we live this life, you're just gonna answer for yourself. So I just miss the idea that they're not around, but I
mm-hmm.
don't really, 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 really like getting crazy about that because I have a goal. And once
mm-hmm.
I achieve that goal, I'm gonna get back and we're gonna make noise and catch up for all the fun that I've ever missed with
yeah.
them for. So I think that's what it is.
So once you are done at OU, you're going to go back?
I'm going to visit my family
mm-hmm.
and reunite to them and get up with some of the things and goals and plans I have to
mm-hmm.
fix up back home. But definitely, yeah, I'm coming back here. I have things to do here. I'm going to
yeah.
be here. This is a country I'm going to invest in and going to, you know, the thing. Well, surely, definitely, I'm going to go home. I'm not just
right.
going to live my life here. I'm going to go
right.
home and get back. Yeah, that's it.
You seem very motivated.
Oh.
I wish I had that kind of motivation.
Oh,
yeah.
Once the thing is that when you travel and be able to go around. You'll be able to see things that are gonna, like, you're gonna have different insights being with people. It's just like living here and going to California. It's also a different ball game altogether. It's different from Tulsa. In there, you see, I'm this kind of person. I want to be involved in everything. Why? I want to be involved in... I want to be involved also in things outside academics. But back home, I didn't see this, you know?
Yeah.
But being here, I've been able to meet two people. I've been able to see, like, the SCG president of this campus, Metro Campus, Tyrants.
Yeah.
Like, he's one strong motivation sometimes to maybe kill. When I look at him and he being a black guy, you don't easily see black guys here. No offense to black people. I love them so much, you know. But sometimes they don't make good use of certain privileges given to them. So likewise white. No one is what would I say? Excluded or included. Like, I don't mean no harm or any hurtful words to anyone, you know. But that guy is someone that he knows what he wants and he's really working hard and he's just like 20. And so when I look at him, I'm like, you're 20 and you're doing this far. That I want to do farther than you are. And he's like, you can do it. You just have to set up your goals, you know. You got to meet up with people. And this is one thing I want to do. I want to do something great outside my education. That doesn't mean I don't want to still further my education. I have a goal in that career, which I'm going to get by God's grace and definitely working hard. But outside that, I think I still want to talk to people. I want to get into interviews. I want to get into radios and talk because I just want to be seen. I want something someday. I'm going to look at it and be like, oh, you did this. I get into, okay, I started writing essay competitions in America here, which I never challenged myself to do back home. And I won, and when I won, I was like, you could do it, you could just keep writing, you know, this is things I want to do. I just don't want to sit one side and be like, you just book. I want to do book, but I want to do something outside book, because sometimes it's not all about the book that takes you further. It's all about the people you meet. It's all about things you do, those little things you think that doesn't make any sense. Like, you can still be going to school and you'd be like, okay, you know, some of the social networks, they help, you know. Some people are doing it big. It's through Instagram. I'm not saying you could go be a, like, an Instagram fan or whatever, like, addictive to it. You just have to set your goals right. You gotta set things right. If, you know, you're so good in makeup and everything, you just start up a makeup thing, you know.
Yeah.
Do something different. I'm not good in makeup, but I want to. I learn from people. I look at them, you know. I want to... Sometimes it's just like I'm over ambitious, but I just want to venture into everything. Like, I'm trying to... I bought a camera because I want to learn how to be a photographer because I love taking pictures and I want to be it. I want sometime... I'm just going to take someone's picture and it's just going to be so good and it can start like a business. It just starts from something. I just want to venture into many things and so that would be great because when... Also, what challenged me is my dad. He didn't grow up flatbones. And so he trained himself through school. He was a bus driver. And everything he did it all by himself because his parents didn't think about education back in the years. And he was like, he's going to go to school more than his siblings, you know. And he did that. And now he and his wife is enjoying the fruits of what they worked for. And so I'm like, I'm not just going to take people's wealth. Which, it's not like they're so flamboyant like that, but I also want to make mine. I want to make my name. I want, somewhere I'm going to see Stephanie Isaac. I'm going to be like, when I'm talking to my kid, I'll be like, I wasn't only a nurse practitioner. I was this, I ventured into this, I spoke for this, you know, that's what I want to do. Like, it's not like what I want to do, that's what I'm still doing. And so, I think it's just something challenging. Once you meet people, it's not only meeting people, because sometimes we meet people and we just only admire the physical look and everything. We don't get to get something challenging. But once you also travel out, also you also know the essence and advantage of certain things that you never took for, like, you never thought you were ever going to take serious. So, you know, something like transportation, whoever thought, like, I was thinking I was a good driver back home, but whoever thought I'm going to take a driving test, I think, like, six times, and I'm still planning to take more, like, hopefully I better pass it, you know, so it's just something different. Yeah.
All right.
I may ask a couple of questions. Yes. You guys are going to wind up just for a couple reasons. I mean, you just said so many interesting things. And I guess I was a little curious about what your initial impressions of Tulsa were, because I feel like, was Tulsa what you imagined America would be? Was it what you imagined you were coming to?
Let me say what I was thinking America as a whole was a land. Yeah, the flowers are melted with gold, you know, the trees are so glittery, like Christmas tree. But it wasn't so bad neither, because it wasn't like also what I expected. Like, it's just general. Like, my boyfriend, when I first met him, I was like, you know what, I see all of you, like, all the guys, sorry, no offense, please.
No, it's fine.
Oh, like, I see you guys like Trump. Like, I was thinking you guys are like, men. Like, when I see men, you're gonna be, like, you're gonna doff your cap for them. Like, you're gonna pull off your cap. I'm like, mm-hmm. This is men. Like, this is guys. But some of those guys that have walked up to me, the hell of a mess that I can't even like stare at them. I'm like, I would just be like, oh man, like seriously, did I not just leave my country to come and date you? Like, you want me to date you? You know, that kind of thing. I'm like, my guys back home, they're so like, so clean, like so sweet. Like, if I want to say I want to date somebody, this is physical attraction, man, it's going to be clean before I now talk of any other thing, you know, that's it. So that's just how I saw America. I was thinking it was gonna be so like, the floors are gonna be made of gold, and maybe the flowers glittering with Santa Claus, or whatever. But it wasn't bad. But it wasn't also so good, you know. So it was what it is. And I just sat down and welcomed it. You know, I just adapted to it.
And then how is it different? I mean, it's obviously not streets of gold. But I wonder, is it, because Tulsa is a specific kind of America, right?
Yeah.
It's very different than California.
It's kind of
very
rural. It's kind of, I'm gonna define it like part of my village.
Yeah. No, if you were to describe it to someone back home, how do you describe Tulsa?
Okay, I'm gonna use a part of my city in Nigeria and explain it. It's part of the, you know, Imo Village. That's a city called Enugu, where I came from. And so inside Enugu, it's just like a part of a city, a village there. Clean village, trust me, it's a clean one. It's a clean one. In California, there's this place in Oakland. It looks like Ajegu Lane, Lagos. That place is where mad people stay. It's not mad, like they're really turning mad. Some of them are mad, but it's a dirty part of the city. When you go to Oakland, there's a part in Oakland. It's very dirty. Like, once you're stepping on the floor, you're stepping on the mud, and, like, greenish and bacteria and fungi is going around. And you're gonna, gosh, this is America. When I went there, I was like, gosh, don't tell me this is America, you know? It's just different places. But there are some sites you go to, and the roads are so smooth. And you won't even be driving, like, please, I just want to go to heaven. You know, that's it. It's just different places. It's still, you know, Tulsa is always under construction, which is a good thing and a bad thing on its own. Because always under construction, when the road is, it makes the road so congested. Once it's raining, it's just like all the routes are changing, you know, the bus routes are changing. But it's good. It's the road. I give a thumbs up to the American country for the road. Like, it's awesome. Like, they're doing good. Like, you know. So, I don't see, it's not really a big difference aside just the construction of the road. It's not, I don't know how I'm going to describe it, but it's also a part of the city, just like a clean village.
I like that. That's interesting. Yeah, and you've been here 2 years now?
Yeah, I guess it's 2 years now.
Okay, interesting. And are there... You went through the presidential cycle, right? So you
I went through that. Okay, the thing about that presidential thing is that I wasn't thrilled. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't let certain things get to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, the thing about the Trump and Clinton, I wasn't on any one side.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I was thinking about is that if a female is a president, that would be the first thing. And I was just admiring the perspective that a female is going to be a president, then I would be something. Then that was when my aunt told me, calm down, you can't be a president because you're not a citizen of this. You were not born literally here. You know, that was where she explained it. But you can be, I think, part of the House of National mm-hmm. Assembly, you know, those parts. And I was like, okay. But aside that, both of them, I just saw, like, I'm going to use they were just having, like, they really, I saw everything. They were doing, like, a campaign. And that's what we do back home. I was part of the electorate, like, working for working for the people that wanted to get into the presidential seat in the House of Assembly. And so working for them, you see, they make loud promises. Empty promises just to get your attention
mm-hmm.
because we love what we hear. Like, we're gonna, you just like, once you're coming out for the debate and everything, you'd be like, I'm just here to propose, I'm almost, and everything you say, you know, some of them are not right, but you're just trying
mm-hmm.
to convince the public. And so that's what I saw in the two candidates. They were just saying everything they were saying. I just saw them like, I'm beginning, because I've been with people that goes for election, that electoral candidates, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see all the empty promises. They're like, they're gonna fix the road, they're gonna give $1 billion to the poor,
mm-hmm.
we're gonna build a charity home, we're gonna take care of this, we're gonna do that. And at the end of the day, they're doing nothing but taking them, swindling the money and getting what they need for themselves. And so that's what I saw. I wasn't bought that. I was one last person that was bought that. Like, I didn't care who was going to be the president, who was going to win, or who was going to fail. The only thing I cared about is just keep going to school, work hard, and do what you want to do. Whoever that is going to be the president, to me, I was like, it's not going to affect me. That was what
mm-hmm.
I said to myself. I was like, because at some point, it looked like international student, it seemed like if Trump entered, it was going to be something else for us. But, you know, once you have one kind of faith, like, you can't be moved, like, you can't easily be moved, and I can't have headache for the people that are going to get money. And me, that's still suffering to wake up by 5:30 to take the bus,
mm-hmm.
is going to have something disturbing my sleep. I slept well. It's people like my neighbors and my friend that kept asking me, are they going to deport you? Like, he just say that. Because he didn't know the best speech to give to Americans that they're going to like.
Hmm.
He didn't know the best speech he was going to make the blacks to say. You know,
mm-hmm.
neither did this one. Some of them were trying to find a group of people that were going to get to the attention. Maybe they felt at the city that the blacks were going to get the attention. So they said what they want to say. And this one felt white. So for that election, I will tell you, I was on trail. And this is not just to say because of being recorded or anything, because I wasn't disturbed. And I felt whoever is in seat, was gonna be in seat. And so
mm-hmm.
I wasn't bothered by that.
So have you felt, are there any differences after the election to what you noticed around you before? Do you think Tulsa's any different? The people around you are any different? Do you notice anything?
The only thing I noticed was immediately after the election.
Even immediately or yeah, now or anything?
I didn't see any big difference. The only thing I noticed that that first week after the election was announced, people calm down. The blacks calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Then the whites, some blacks calm down, and some whites we are kind of being rude. Like American always
mm-hmm.
say, being rude. I don't really. So that's what I noticed. And also, the internet brought up another picture of things. You know, it's, you know, internet and social media can over exaggerate things at certain times. And so they played a very bad and good pawn with the two candidates. They made mockery of both of them, you know. I noticed also some people regretted choosing certain people. And it's not like they chose certain people, not because they hate or love them, but because they didn't know who to choose.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a confused election. People didn't know where and who to choose. You know, sometimes we're like, I don't like neither Trump nor Clinton. I had to choose someone else. So, so far, to me, I'm not a news person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen to those things. I don't know what's happening. I only know I'm going to school and trying to fix myself and go meet my family. So I didn't notice any change. Maybe because I don't really talk to people. Few people, I just say hello, hi, go to school. I don't listen to and I'm not a news fan. That's just a summary. So I didn't notice any big thing. But only through the social media that I noticed that black people, we are being, what will I say? Okay. The blacks and the police thing, it was a messed up game. Like, what I'm seeing through the internet is not like what I've seen with my own eyes. Like, internet, like the police things, you know, it's been something else. It has been a hell of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's only what I've seen, like, through social media since that election till this moment. And just seeing the black guys being humiliated with the police, it's, I don't know what's up. I don't know if it is like social media a situation, but I just hope everything is going to be fine.
I mean, do you have many impressions of, like, what's your impressions of race here in Tulsa, TCC?
Mm-hmm.
Because as you mentioned, there's not necessarily a lot of black people, right? There's some. There's, out west, it's a more predominantly white campus. So why do you think of diversity here, I guess, is my question.
In Tulsa as a whole?
Yeah, or just what's been your experience of it?
Okay.
If anything.
I didn't really see, like, racism at first until I started getting... Every time the black and the white, the only word I hear from them is racism. That was when I started considering those words, racism. Because why I didn't think of it that way is because also back home, it's kind of racism. But it's not racism, it's called tribalism.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because we have different ethnic groups. But the three most known ethnic groups, which is the Igbo, the Hausa, and the Yoruba, between the Igbos and the Yorubas, it's more of a clash, like, daily. It just seems like this one feels they're more superior than this. This one feels they're more attentive than this. The other one feels they're more respectful than that. The other one, and those issues make them not to get married, you know, certain times, because the racial issues. So, being like that, I don't really see things like racism. I feel it like it's a perspective of what you take things. Like now, I may see, okay, I'm those kind of person, I'm a loud person, like, I talk too much, and sometimes I'm so quiet. Like, when you see me so quiet, you're gonna be like, what's up, girl, like, were you injured, did your boyfriend break your heart, and all those things? But why, it's nothing, it's just, I wanna be silent. I don't have anything to see, my mood, and just thinking of something, like, and so that is it. And so I really don't know much about racism because I don't see it like racism. I think it to be like your perspective, what you think. Because now she may be like, I may say, what do they normally say that's more they call racism? Okay, let me use an illustration like focus. Like when I came here the first time, I didn't know the currency. Like I know this is $1. I know the notes part, but I don't know the coins,
mm-hmm.
you know. The cents and the pennies and everything, you know. And so when I went to the... Okay, I'm trying to remember. What do they call that? The food store, what?
Walmart?
No, in school. In
oh,
school here.
In here.
The canteen or whatever. What do you guys call it?
I don't go to this campus.
Yeah.
Oh, the where they sell for what do you... Okay.
Not the cafeteria.
The cafeteria, okay, yeah, it's gonna be the cafeteria. And so when I went there, and so I was just counting, I was taking my time, because I remember my aunt told me this is one thing, you know, and it was so confusing to me, and I was just wasting my time. And the lady, excuse me, she had it was like, you want to cheat us, you want to get this money and run away, you just want to take the thing and run out. I'm like, I was, and people were staring at me, and that was my first day in campus, they wanted to get something. I felt humiliated. I felt so stupid. But I didn't see like racism. But I felt insulted. That is the only thing I was so demoralized because little things affect me. Like, you know, I don't want to be publicly embarrassed. You know, even back home, I don't, excuse me, I don't want to be publicly embarrassed. So saying that and with a crowd of people there, I wanted to cry. But I didn't cry. But I was so drained. Like, throughout that day, I was like, gosh, I can't, so come on money, I can't even count, like, I don't know what I'm doing. And so she just dragged it from my hand and just counted it. And like, did it the second time again.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it, she was yelling at me, and I was looking, I was like, I'm not gonna call me. What I said to myself, I was never gonna go into that cafeteria again. So we had this diversity talk one day, and I spoke about it. And that was when I noticed people are like, it's racism. But then I now had to say to myself, I don't think it was racism. I think it's how I understood it. I felt like you were meant to know it. Maybe she didn't know you were a first year student. And you were meant to know this money before you come in to use the exchange, whatever. But in the same way, she was harsh to me. You know, here you guys do harsh, but back up, if you shout to someone, person yell back at you, you don't give a damn, you know, like, you're gonna yell at me. If I want to keep silent, I keep silent, but if I don't want to keep silent, I'm gonna definitely yell back at you. It's not like you don't even need to make so much noise about calling the cops, you know. So that's it. But you know, coming down here, you have to change who you are, because somehow I'm a crazy person, but you just gotta change who you are, you know, and try to make yourself adaptable to the country. So I think it's what you think, it's what it is. If it feels like racism, then it is racism to you. And you keep getting that ideology that it's racism. So when someone does something to you, like, I have not really understood American culture. Like, when I had a boyfriend, so it was like certain things he says, certain thing I say, okay, I was like, oh my gosh, you look like my cousin brother, and he was like, that means you can't date me. I was like, I didn't say that. I only said you look like someone. Like, looking at you, I'm seeing my cousin. And to him, he felt like, you know, once you say something like that, means you can't date a person. You know, certain there's so many more I can't really remember at this moment. Maybe when I walk through out the door now, I'm gonna remember that. But there are certain things people say to me, I don't see like an issue. But when I say something like back home, being from there for like 18 years of my life, from a kid to this moment, and I was there, and I say certain things to you, some of you guys here, it's gonna be so offensive. And you know one bad thing about you guys? You guys don't tell us what will make you angry. You just keep it to yourself. Which is not cool, because sometimes you might not really know what's up, you know.
Right.
But when I'm mad at you, I'm gonna tell you like I'm really mad. And you're gonna see it to my facial expression. Everything is gonna change. But, you know, that is it. And that's why I've kept myself all this way. Because I want to say something to someone, the person's going to get mad and hurt me. Where everyone has a gun and a penknife and everything. You just want to be careful, you know. You just don't know what you're treading on. And when I try to talk to some people, it's just like, you have an accent, you know. And I back out. I'm not discouraged. I only know sometimes. It just pushes me to, like, at some moment, I had to, like, watch movies and speak. And when I speak in animal, like, make an Instagram, my cousins would be like, oh, you're forming an accent. I'm like, I don't give a damn what you guys are saying, because you don't know back here. I'm suffering to communicate to people. I find it so difficult to communicate to people because I have a strong accent where I've lived my life for over. And coming down to the country where you got to communicate to people every day, where I'm going to go to school, you got to find a way to communicate with them. You know, so this is it. It's what you think. That's the summary. I think what you think about it. Because the blacks here, like the African Americans, they feel once something is not done their way, it's called racism. You know, so I think that ideology has to change. It's sometimes it's not what maybe I may be free and be like, oh gosh, you're looking so cute. I want to kiss, you know, something like that. I'm not saying this is it, you know.
Yeah.
You're gonna get so mad about it. You're gonna be like, it's so offensive, you know. It's so, you know, like back home, I see some African guys, you know, when they want to tease, they're like, hey girl, oh, you're fine. Oh, this girl, you're so cute. See your ass, see this, you know. They're trying to make jokes, they're trying to just crack a silly joke. But someone can find it offensive here, you know. So it just depends on your perspective, wherever you see it. Sometimes you just gotta ignore. And that's what I see like racism. So to me, I don't feel like someone is being racist to me. I feel the only person is only silly to themselves. If you want to act, and your action is not convenient to me, I just let you be. Either I let you be, or I just fix my headset and walk out. Or I just keep silent about the whole thing and do like nothing happened. Because that lady, she didn't know that I was mad at her. I just one day I walked up to her and I was like, I'm still new here. You don't have to be speaking to me that way. And on a good day, I had to give a $20 bill for a tip to show her it's not what she thinks. Like, sometimes when she look at me, she has one day called me and like, you're standing there. I'm like, I'm not stealing any fucking thing. I know you guys have camera everywhere. Why would I want to steal? And I am just starting school. I want to start stealing, you know? Even if you think because I'm black that I'm stealing, you know, because you think like I'm from the poorest nation that doesn't have nothing. You just gotta give me a little respect. At least, I don't look like a beggar. I'm in school. And so, when she said that to me in public, I was touch my bag. I don't have nothing on me. And she touched my bag because she was like, give me your ID number. I was like, I can't give you my ID number. I don't use my ID to pay. This is my card. Swipe it and take the money. And she's like, no, you stole this. You stole a bullet. I was like, really? A bullet? I didn't steal. I was holding that. And I changed my mind because I was feeling so dizzy in school here. And I didn't know what's up with me. So I was like, I need some energy. And I was holding that energy drink at some while it was cold. And people were standing everywhere and putting everything. So I wanted to put in my bag, like, at the next part of my bag. I was like, girl, keep that. That was what I said to myself. And she was like, I'm stealing. Like, you can't just conclude like that I'm stealing. And so she had to search my bag and found out that nothing was there. And the other guy came to say, you're sorry. I'm like, do you know several times I can count your sins towards me in this damn place? Like, just for this session. It's so humiliating. And it still comes in front of people. Like a crowd of people. It's so embarrassing.
Right.
And so I had to forget it. I still didn't take it to heart. And I had to give her a $20 bill. And whenever she sees me now, she hugs me. She smiles, you know. I laugh. I mean, she's like, I love your dress sense. Can you give me some food? I'm like, go, come on, we're going to do it. So that is it. Because someone else is going to hurt her or something. Because here, I think it's easy to hurt someone when people don't see it that way. So that's it. You just, it's your perspective. Because why I say perspective is, what you have in mind. I think the African Americans have already had in mind their slaves to the whites. They have been in slavery, and so that is what affects them up to this moment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to get past that. And so any little thing being said to them or being acted towards them, they're like, it's racism.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say they're not racist. They may be, but to me, I don't think they are. I think what you want to act, if you want to be assaultive to me, like when they call me black girl, I don't get mad. I'm a sweetest black lady they're gonna ever meet. I'm so serious about it. Like, I'm one sweet, amazing lady. And I'm not even afraid to say anywhere I am, I'm a black lady. And I'm a Nigerian and just an African of my parents. Like, those people are so awesome to bring me to an African world. Like, I'm so proud of that. You know, so it's something you just gotta accept. If you don't wanna be black, maybe you could go change your color to white. You know, it's just something. It's just something you just have to accept. Like, you just got to change your perspective. And that's why during the black and when they had the racism stuff about racists and blackies and everything, you know, even in California, I had to speak to them. It's, you got to use what they give you. It's not saying you guys, like, we're so bad also on our way. So likewise, white. Everyone has a bad and a good side. It just depends on the part to play. So to me, I don't see like racist.
So what do you think being an international student has taught you, like living internationally?
It has taught me to appreciate things that I ever took for granted in my country. And it has taught me to work hard because every dime I pay here, it's a lot. It's a lot, and when I go back and change it, it's so much money that I'm going to leave so extravagant. And it's also taught me to be humble. And also be creative and engaging and versatile and proud of who you are. That's what it has taught me. And it has also taught me to do good because people that you don't know are watching, which are the cameras, are watching. So it has taught me many things. So being it's challenging being an international student. Challenging likewise being an African from a country that has been single-handedly brought out to be one baddest country ever, you know, but notwithstanding that, I'm still proud of that because it just brought out the humility and the sense of being open. Because if you're an international student and you're secluded, you can't get information. You can't know what's happening. you feel so isolated, so depressed. And at this young age, I think I still want to get married before I die of depression. So definitely I'm going to engage. And so it's so thrilling to be an international student also. It's so thrilling and educative, so challenging. And my mom will always tell you, if they say you can do it, challenge them and say you can do it. A coming out greater. And be proud of who you are and never, ever forget where you came from. When you don't forget where you came from, you will know that everything you do is a stepping stone for you. So knowing I came from Africa, from Nigeria precisely, and being a Black, I know where I came from. I know who is waiting for me back home. My siblings and everything. So being an international student now, I think now I feel more determined than ever. Maybe than staying back at home where I see them every day. They give me money every time, you know. Now the exchange rate is higher. You don't always get it like that. You have to work hard. It's make me to work hard. We don't work at this time back home. I can't work if I'm back home. It's not like if I want to work, I can work. But it's not like here, once you're 18, you can work, you can apply. So it has taught me humility. It has taught me hard work in its rarest form, like in the most captivating and ever challenging way. And so I still thank God I'm an international student. Yeah, that's it.
All right, I think we're good here.
Okay, that's good.
All right, I'm going to end the recording. This is April 18th, 2017 at Metro Campus in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this is Stephanie Isaac.
Yeah.
Stephanie Youngblood.
Thank you.
Brandon and Carmen.
Yeah.